In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm with Eleanor McCullen today. And I'm going to be reading from Mark 1:40. It was the reading that the church gave us on Sunday. A leper came to Jesus, begging him, and kneeling, he said to him, "If you choose, you can make me clean." Moved with pity, Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him and said, "I do choose. Be made clean." Immediately the leprosy left him, and he was made clean. After sternly warning him, he sent him away at once, saying to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded as a testimony to them." But he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the word, so that Jesus could no longer go into the town openly, but stayed out in the country, and people came to him from every quarter. This is a very amazing thing, because you tell people, don't tell anybody. You know why? It's called the messianic secret, because the secret is that he's going to die on a cross. And Jesus keeps on telling people, don't tell anyone, because the great miracle is the crucified Jesus and the resurrected Jesus. Today, we're talking about a leper. "If you can, you can heal me." I tell you, Jesus said, "I will. I want to heal you." Yesterday was the prayer for the sick yesterday. It was Father McDonough's anniversary of death, and we prayed Mass for him, and we prayed for the sick after the homily. Why? Because it was the world's day to pray for the sick. I wonder how many parishes prayed for the sick yesterday. I tell you, we did, and we had healings too. God healed someone of a headache that she had for 2 days. Someone else, an organ that seemed to be better. So, Eleanor, tell us about leprosy and the baby in the womb.
Well, hello, everyone. Yes, I will, Father. But may I comment a little bit on what you were just saying about the gospel? What struck me as you were reading it are two things. First of all, the leper, he had courage. He knew he was not supposed to even be in the area. If you read the first reading, the lepers in those days were sent out of the camp. They had to say unclean, unclean. But for him to get down and beg Jesus, I mean, that took courage and that took faith. And the message I'm getting is today, and also now when you think about Jesus, that took courage, because first of all, you don't touch a leper in those days. That was like the worst thing you could do. And then Jesus did touch him. He stepped out and he touched him. And this man knew that Jesus would be able, nothing is too big for Jesus to heal, nothing. I don't care, as Father would say sometimes, if you've had 3 abortions, nothing is too big for Jesus to reach out, take your hand, and forgive you. Nothing is too big, whether it's an illness or whether it's something that you have done. There is nothing too big for our Lord. We have an awesome God, a forgiving God, and a merciful God. So courage for the leper to step forward and not worry what people would say. Oh, look at that leper. He shouldn't be doing that. He should be outside the camp. But the leper didn't care. People were rolling their eyes, but the leper didn't care. He was on a mission. He had faith. He stepped forward. He had courage. But then when you think about it too, Father, Jesus, he had courage, and he knew that that man would go out and tell everybody. You know, when you've been touched by Jesus, you want to cry it out from the rooftops, because you can't hold it in. You just want to tell people what Jesus did, and you just want to share that good news. So Jesus knew that he would go out and tell people. But Jesus said, you know, maybe I won't heal him, because he'll go out and tell people, and then I won't have to run to the desert and hide from people. So maybe I won't do it, and then I can just go on my merry way. But Jesus knew. Jesus knew he's going to tell people. Jesus knew he'd have to escape to a deserted place to get away from the people. But he did it the right thing. And that's what I'm hearing today. Do the right thing. Even if people roll their eyes, even if you're taken out of your comfort zone, even if you end up doing something that you really wanted, you didn't want to go into the deserted place, but you did because of the greater good. So I'm hearing courage on both sides. And that's what, when you were reading that, it just dawned on me. So do you want to say something after that, Father? You want me to talk about the baby in the womb? And I think you're right. I think our modern day leper is the baby in the womb. For people who are not expecting a baby, or they're not ready for the baby, or they don't think they have money for the baby, or it's an inconvenience and they want to finish school, or they want to go to this job, they want everything, they want what they want. And so, of course, the baby becomes a leper. It becomes something that you want to put out, you want to get rid of, you want to put on the outside. You don't want to have anything to do with that. And so I think that's our modern day society now, Father, is the leper. And this is what we're dealing with, this evil of abortion. And if you want, I would just tell you something that I had mentioned to you before, and everybody could pray for a couple that are expecting twins. Do you remember that story, Father? And just to remind everybody that this woman was in a Planned Parenthood, and she was going in for an abortion. She felt that she could not handle a child. It wasn't convenient. And most times now, Father, people say, oh, they don't have the money. It's not money anymore, Father. It's convenience. It's what I want to do when I want to do it, and I'll have my baby next year. So she did go in for an abortion, and as I explained before, they always do an ultrasound in Planned Parenthood. And just to gauge what the price of the abortion would be, whether it would be a one-day procedure or 2 days. However, what happened on this particular case was that when they did the ultrasound, the technician saw two children. Two hearts were beating, and you could see two individual, very tiny little people. And the technician, the woman said, could I see the picture? And the technician said, I don't think so. And that's okay, you can't, the machine doesn't work, and we can't give you a picture and you can't see it. But this was the case where the machine, it just, whether the technician pushed the button for the photos to come through, or it was the miracle that Jesus was right there, and the machine worked, and it shot out the picture of the ultrasound, and there were two. And the woman, it's always interesting, because I have worked with couples that have twins, and they somehow, the two tugs at their heart, and they can't go forward with it. So the woman said, oh, you know, I can't have this abortion. I have to leave. I have to get out of here. And so the technician did give her the picture. And so there was a conscience that day. The Lord worked with a person there, that technician. And so the person, the young mother, came out, and of course, we were there. And there again, Father, it brings up the case of, well, you know, why do we have to be outside of Planned Parenthood? What's the point of it? Some days are dry, nothing happens. And it is uncomfortable. It is cold and windy and rainy, and you do get weary. And the Lord says, run and do not grow weary. But we are human and we do get weary. But we were there that day and she came out. Imagine if we weren't there. We were there to affirm her, to hug her, to tell her it's going to be all right. She was crying. We looked at the picture. We were all crying. And we were there just to pray with her and say, it's going to be all right. We're going to help you. If nobody was there, she'd come out and she'd feel alone and abandoned. And she would have gone home that day. But maybe she'd say, you know, I'll go back. So you never know what you do when you hug somebody and hold them and affirm the right thing. She did the right thing. It was the right thing to do. Even if she goes home to her apartment and everybody there rolls their eyes. It's a courage thing. Stepping out, doing the right thing. And we were there doing the right thing. Holding her and hugging her and affirming her decision. And it was just a wonderful day. And the reason I especially think about it today is because the twins are coming. It's that time now. But she's on bed rest. Her name is Estelle. So if you could all pray for her. The twins are fine, but she's on bed rest, which is very difficult. It sounds like it's easy. It's not easy. But the babies are coming in 2 weeks, and I keep in touch with her. We make sure she has everything. She has the double stroller. She has everything, and she's happy. Oh, and now I remember. Do you remember this, Father? Because I said to her at the time, I was thinking, wow, is she going to like this, twins? And then she was the one, Father, that said, I am happy. She said, it's a double blessing. So not only was that technician overwhelmed, but the mother all of a sudden could see that a baby is a blessing. A baby is a special gift. Life is precious. And that's our prayer, Father, that everybody would realize how precious life is from the moment of conception to natural death. So I appreciate the prayers, everybody. Estelle and the twins, twin boys.
You see, the baby in the womb is the one that is the leper. Let's get rid of it. It's not our time. I have a big job. You see, this is the importance of being outside the clinic. It's not a clinic, it's a mill. It's very important being there because you speak to people. And you hug people and you love people. And the baby, you know, only God knows how many children have been saved just because people are out there, because people turn around when they see people. And that's what people are doing. The people that are out there are praying. They're praying and they're praying and they're praying. And only God knows how many children have been saved just because people are out there praying. You might say, that's Pollyanna. No, it's not Pollyanna. People hate to go through people. They'd much rather go into the mill and go by themselves and kill their child. But if you've had 4 abortions, God wants to heal you. God wants to heal you. He doesn't have anything against you. It's time to be healed. It's time to be healed. It's time to be healed. It's time. It's time. It's time to be healed. This is also the day of prayer for the sick. It's time to say, Jesus, I want to be healed. Jesus, I surrender. Jesus, I give you my life. Jesus, here I am. I come to do your will. Here I am. I come to do your will.
Father, I have to tell another little story here that it doesn't paint me in a good light. How about that? And this is a story, just happened a few weeks ago. It's very cold here, and they were doing construction work on Commonwealth Avenue, right where Planned Parenthood is. So there was no place to park. So I came down to there's a grocery store, a supermarket, Star Market, and they have a big parking lot. So I came down to the parking lot And I'm sitting in the parking lot and I'm thinking, what am I doing down here? This is ridiculous. I can't talk to anybody. This is foolish. I'm not doing anything. Oh, I'm going home. And I really was going to go home. I don't know. I don't always say, oh, I will do this and this is a penance and all that. No, I don't do that. I just say, I'm going home. This is a waste of my time. There's no place to park up there. And so I'm just going through all this. But I'm sitting there and all of a sudden, well, when I'm saying I'm sitting there, I'm probably like 25 minutes saying I'm going home. This is ridiculous. But then I noticed, Father, that other cars couldn't find parking places. So they were pulling into the Star Market parking lot. And I looked around and they were couples parking there and then walking like two blocks, a block and a half, up to Planned Parenthood. So all of a sudden, my life became my mission. I was going to be, I see, oh, wow, I can work down here. So you know that expression, God makes a way when there's no way? Well, he made a way, and here I am. And I don't even think I prayed. I don't think I said, maybe I said, should I go home or not? I hope I prayed. I hope I did. But, and then the first couple got out of their car, and I get out of my car, and I talked to them. They didn't want to talk to me. The second couple, they talked to me, they took my card, but they still walked up the hill and went into Planned Parenthood. But guess what, Father? The third couple, I was able to talk to them, they listened, they took the brochure, and they took my card, but they still walked up the hill. But guess what? I'm still sitting down in my car praying. Now I am praying because they were interested. They seemed like they were on the fence. They weren't sure what to do, but they did go in. But I kept praying. I said, oh Lord, you're the only one. I did the best I could on that one. So you have to convict them and convert their hearts. And I looked up and they're coming down the hill with a couple. So of course I jumped out of the car. And so they said, we couldn't do it. So, Father, it was so beautiful. I gave them one of our baby blankets that we have so many people knitting baby blankets. I want to thank everybody for that. They're gorgeous blankets. They're heirloom quality. And I gave one away and that day. And then we're going to help them. And they have my card. And they said, thank you. So what's the moral of that story? The moral is... sometimes where we are, I don't mean right doing the pro-life work, but wherever you are, you might, oh, I don't know, visit somebody in the hospital and they already were discharged. And you're thinking, well, what am I here for? I wasted my time. But when you do, you know what Paul said yesterday, Father, in the second, he said, do everything for the glory of God. So wherever you're going and it was disappointing, you didn't think what you were there for is going to work out, but you say to the Lord, I'm here for the glory of God. So why did I come? What was the purpose? I don't see the way, but you make a way. And there will be a reason. You might not see it right away, but pray and ask for, why am I here? And then the Lord will show you.
Parking in the parking lot was divine, a divine experience. Little did she know that there were going to be people that would be doing the same thing. But you see, it's perseverance. Perseverance. She wanted to go home. It was cold that day. It was cold that day. And it's hard to be out in the cold, especially now that we cannot park out in the street. So I'm going into the parking lot of Star Market. And you know, from that place, a child was saved and parents were saved because somebody wanted that baby to be saved. What about the other two babies? Only God knows if they had the abortion. And we ask God to help these ladies, help these men, because it's beautiful to have children. They are the leper in the womb. It's time for people to come out to Planned Parenthood and just to pray. Just to pray. People say, well, I'm coming. And they come once. They say, this is wonderful. They never show up again. We need young people to do this. We need people that are young, because most of the people out there are senior citizens and they are tired. They've been doing it for years. But we need young people that would do what God wants them to do. I'm talking to you today. Planned Parenthood. Tell us the address.
Yes, I will, Father. And the address is 1055 Commonwealth Avenue. And that's in Brighton, Massachusetts. And the zip is 02135. Which leads me into, Father, people are probably thinking, oh, yeah, I think I'll go over. And maybe they need somebody to encourage them. Well, this is a good thing that's coming up now. We do 40 Days for Life. Rita Russo, she promotes this, and we all jump on the bandwagon because it's a beauty. You just do 40 Days for Life. What does that mean? Lent's starting on Wednesday, Father. And so you might want to, instead of giving up something, why not do something? Do something. And what could I do? Well, this is a perfect time. And all you do is come to Planned Parenthood, 1055 Commonwealth Avenue. You just bring yourself, and the Lord is with you. The Lord will protect you. If you think if something is going to happen, nothing's going to happen. You will have the shield of protection upon you. You come and you pray. You could come for an hour or 2 hours, anytime between 7 in the morning and 7 at night. And we're there in the morning from 7 until 11:30 on every day except Monday. So Saturdays are good to come out. And you might say, well, I work during the day. I can't. But guess what? You can go on to the website. There are vigils at night, Thursday night, Friday night. There's so many things going on. So you could just say, I'll go for an hour and pray. And everything is done for the glory of God, not for your glory, but something that would be a beautiful thing to give up some time in Lent to go and stand there and pray. Because prayer is going to be the breakthrough of this evil of abortion, Father. And we grow weary. We grow weary because it's been 40 years and it's been more than that. And we grow weary. We say, is it ever going to change? Is it ever going to change? It's going to change. People are going to wake up. People are going to be convicted. But it's the prayer of the people that know that it's going to do it. And the Lord's calling us for perseverance. Like you said, Father, never give up. Come and pray outside of Planned Parenthood. Bring a friend with you. Come for an hour. It's a powerful gift to Jesus for the 40 days of Lent. Now, I want to give this website for people that want to call, because I don't really do too much on the computer. So the telephone number to find out when the vigils are is 781-769-5398. I'll give that again in a minute. But you who do computer, www.40days40daysforlife.com. 40daysforlife.com/Boston. And the telephone number is 781-769-5398. I think when you come, you will feel blessed. You will feel blessed. You'll feel like you've done something important. Now, you may not see anything that day. People do think, Father, they come and they want to see one of these miracles that I talk about. You may not see that, but it's okay because the Lord sees you. And he is protecting you, and he is happy that you are there trying to console and get rid of this abortion for his people. Jesus loves people, and if we love people, it puts a smile on his face. It consoles our Jesus. And how beautiful is that when you say, I'm consoling the Sacred Heart of Jesus? I like that. And consoling him. And I know maybe you don't believe all that, but I believe it. And he is consoled when he sees you there. Whatever you do for the glory of God, he is right there with you. Now, can I say something else, Father? Do we have any more time? This is an interesting case. This is a woman that did go ahead and have an abortion about a year ago. But she kept my card in her wallet, and I just received a call a couple of weeks ago, and she explained that she did go in that day, and she did have the abortion, and she finds now that she is pregnant, and she got my card, she has my card, and she called me. But she also told me, she said, I need help. I'm pregnant, but I want to have this baby, because she said, I did go ahead. I didn't listen to anybody. I had the abortion. but I haven't been the same since I've had that abortion. She said, I every day is sad. Every day I just can't get it out of my mind. I say, well, what did I do that day? Why did I run in? Why didn't I just wait? Why didn't I talk to somebody for 5 minutes? Why did I do that? And she said she's been paralyzed. Not physically, but paralyzed in her thinking, in her working. She just goes through the day, but she just can't get this out of her mind. And so, and it's a terrible feeling to have such remorse and regret, and there's nothing you can do about it. But we're working with her on that. Of course, you know about Project Rachel, Father, and that's a healing ministry. And as I said in the beginning of our broadcast, that Jesus, nothing is too big for Jesus to heal and to forgive. So we're talking to her about forgiveness on that particular issue. But she said, I know I can't. I want this baby. I love this baby. This baby is a blessing. God has blessed me in this adversity. He's blessed me. He's touched me. Even when I'm sad, I just feel like the Lord has come upon me in such a deep way, even though I did this horrible thing. So it's a beautiful thing that she has been convicted and converted, and we will still talk about the mercy of God with her. But to hear her crying on the phone and realizing every single day she just can't get it out of her mind. So it's just it's a beautiful story of redemption.
We need to hear these stories. We need to hear these stories. I remember being at an abortion mill. I was the only one. And this lady said, because you're here, I'm from Fall River, I'm not going to have the abortion. Just because I was there all alone, doing nothing but praying, doing something. Mm-hmm. I want to tell you, mm-hmm. go in front of Planned Parenthood and be there in the name of Jesus for the glory of God. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.